Hello and welcome back to another episode of Tech Plus, where every week we talk about the latest tech news for a whole hour. It's myself, Kane, and I'm here with Ion. Ion, how are you doing today?
Kane, hello.
Hello.
I'm good.
Doesn't it feel good having the roles reversed for once?
Yes. Next time we're changing seats.
Man, I must tell you, we have some great news today. For the first time, we can talk about the L word in a positive light.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes,
indeed. There's been some developments.
Yes.
Good developments.
We've got some people at Eskom who previously did some corrupt activities, so to speak, have picked up the go to jail, go directly to jail, do not pass, begin, do not collect 20,000, 20-year sentence.
Oh, good.
And we've also got an alleged corrupt former Eskom executive that skipped his court date.
Oh, okay. So is he gone AWOL or what?
Yeah.
Is he gone?
No, he decided to stand up and not play Monopoly today.
You're also another interesting week for technology and also exciting news for South Africa with Disney Plus and all the things coming soon.
We actually have a price comparison to look at today.
Oh, you're gonna do that for
us? We're gonna have a look.
Good. So DSTV, there's another blow for poor old DSTV. Another hole in the sinking ship. Oh, shame. Yeah, but it's just around the corner, hey? The 18th of May. But you're going to tell us more a little bit later on.
Absolutely.
Really looking forward to that.
And also, we've got Elon Musk, who says he's thinking about starting his own social media platform.
I saw that, and you know what? Didn't we? I don't know if it was you, but I spoke to somebody about it last week or the week before, and I said to them, I won't be surprised if Elon Musk, just like Donald Trump, starts his own social network.
Oh, yeah. What was it called? Trump's social network? It was called Truth or something like that. Or Trust. I think it was Truth.
Yeah.
Truth social media app.
But where is it?
It didn't do so well, apparently. Apparently, it went to the top of the app store for a time. So, I mean, it couldn't be that bad. But apparently there
was
some... But
that was just because people were curious to download it.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question. Was the logo orange?
I know. Some white lines at the top.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Yeah,
okay.
And we've also taken a look at a Twitter user from the UK who's been sentenced to 150 hours of community service for something he said in a tweet that was deleted 20 minutes later.
But somebody obviously took a screenshot.
Oh, and apparently didn't even have that many followers.
Jeez, eh?
Yeah, they
used... So how did they... Yeah, I wonder if you used the hashtag or how they discovered it.
Well, should we take a look at who's gone to jail this week?
Yes, who's gone to jail, yes.
So, Eskom crooks have got hefty prison sentences. A former Eskom financial controller and his partner in crime have been sentenced to an effective 20 years in prison each after being found guilty on 53 counts of fraud and theft that cost the state-owned electricity utility 35 million rand.
Oof.
So between two people, over what could have potentially been, I think it was 2 years, 2016 and 2018, they managed to steal 35 million rand. Which is a lot, because we've looked at the prices to you know, erect solar plants and things like that. And it's between 15 million and 150 million, depending on the size of the green energy solution. So there's at least one green energy solution there for a couple hundred megawatts of power that just would never have come to existence. So Eskom said on Thursday that the pair, former financial controller Musai Barnard and former service provider Volisi Shabalala were sentenced in the Palm Ridge Commercial Crimes Court. Both individuals were forfeit their properties, which were placed under a preservation order in November 2021 to the state. They will be sold and the proceeds paid directly back to Eskom. The two were arrested in October 2019 following an investigation initiated by Eskom's Audit and Forensics Department. The thieves had stolen just under 35 million from Eskom in a corruption scam that occurred between Jan 2016 and September 2018, perpetrated through the creation of fictitious invoices and payments for services not rendered to Megara Transportation, which is a company owned by Shabalala.
Oh, lekker.
So he obviously owned a company.
Yeah, how convenient.
And then invoiced that company, or used the company to invoice Eskom, then was paid and then didn't do the service.
Ah, nice.
And they did that.
How convenient. How long did he do it before they caught him?
Well, he did it for 2 years and 53 times. 53 times, 2 years. That means 25 times a year you're doing it. That's pretty ballsy.
I wonder if the accountant got a part of the profits.
There must have been some profit sharing there, because that's 50. You know, if it's a big business, let's be honest. Eskom is a big business, but 53 invoices.
No, that's insane.
That
man.
Yield zero results go unnoticed. I can't believe that.
No, I think the accountant was in on it.
35 million rand, you know, just like, oh yeah, I know everything's fine, you know. I'm sure it'll come eventually.
But, you know, but I know it's good that they went to jail now. Justice is served, but I mean, is it not too late? The damage has been done. Or they're going to pay it back.
Well, the rater said that what is the most pleasing about this judgment is that taxpayers will recover some of the stolen funds through the sale of the ill-gotten property belonging to the convicts. I don't really know what he means by that, saying that taxpayers
are selling their homes
recover
or what?
Some of the homes that the two bought,
yeah,
and the fancy cars,
okay,
and
ooh, yeah,
all
obviously
of that.
They had a lovely
trips to USA to go to Disneyland.
Oh really?
To France. No, they had a fantastic 2 years.
But somebody stole the cables at Disney World as well recently.
Oh, really?
Was it them?
Killed two birds with one stone. Yeah. Holiday and profit. And then we're taking a look at an alleged corrupt Eskom executive which skipped his court date and now has had a warrant issued for his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So a warrant of arrest has been issued for former Eskom executive France Halakudi, following his failure to appear in the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court to answer to a corruption case against him and three others. Halakudi, together with seven companies, fellow former Eskom executive Abraham Masango, businessman Mopoko, that is a very hard name to read.
Why are they giving you all these difficult names today?
And Tubular Construction's chief executive Antonio Trinidad, are accused of defrauding the state power utility of hundreds of millions of rands. National Prosecuting Authority Investigating Directorate, or NPAID, spokesperson said, who was granted 300,000 rand in bail following his arrest in December, will now provisionally forfeit this bail to the state. They are among several others who stand accused of corruption pertaining to the Eskom's 745 million rand case. 745 million. So the two that committed a crime to the value of 35 million are in jail. The another person who's got six other people, you know, in cahoots with, is responsible for 745 million, totaling 790 million missing.
It is sickening, actually.
It's almost a billion rand. I mean, that's crazy.
No
wonder we're load shedding.
I was going to say now, no wonder we're in the situation that we're in.
Someone must have been sitting there who does the maintenance on the units, and he says, guys, something's wrong here. Like, I already broke here, and we need this new equipment ASAP. No, that's crazy.
Oh.
But you know how we should kick this off? You know what happened 15 minutes ago?
15 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago.
Doesn't have any. Is it South Africa's story?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I know that the driving license grace period has been extended to the 15th of April. Because there's a backlog. And then people were basically illegally on the road. But now it's been extended to the 15th of April.
Oh, my word.
Okay, but no, what happened?
So Blue Origin's NS20 space tourism launch literally just went live. So Blue Origin is preparing to launch its next tourist flight today to send six passengers on a suborbital launch from West Texas. The mission, called NS20, will launch at 9:10 a.m. Or 1300 GMT. We're GMT plus 2, which means 3 o'clock.
Okay, so that happened just a while ago.
Just a few minutes ago, on a New Shepard rocket from Blue Origin's launch site near Van Horn, Texas. The mission will mark Blue Origin's fourth crewed flight and second to carry a full six-person crew. Riding on board will be Marty Allen, Mark Hagel, Sharon Hagel, Jim Kitchen, Gary Lai, and George Nilt. And here is, so the site I'm looking at now is space.com, and they've done a very cool thing of having live updates. So as of right now, 3:03, the latest updates came in. So Blue Origin has stopped its launch countdown at T minus 10 minutes from launch. The company has not yet stated the reason for the hold yet. The NS20 passengers are buckled in for launch and just received a message from Blue Origin's NS19 crew, the first six-person crew. One message from Michael Strahan was particularly cheering. This is the best ride ever to ever be had, but it's also way too short. So they haven't lifted off just yet. There's some time passing now.
Can you check the passenger list, please?
Yes.
Can you check for Will Smith?
Will Smith. They're sending him out of there already.
Can you check if they're sending him out?
Well, you know how to get Will Smith to space. You get Chris Rock to go also fly to space. Yeah. It won't take too long to have them together there.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be the first ever suborbital wrestling match, arm wrestle in some orbit.
So
the crew arrived at the launch site 1 to prepare to board their New Shepard spacecraft. As they arrived, dawn broke over the West Texas launch site, and the private astronauts were climbing the 7-story gantry to reach the boarding level for the New Shepard. Today's a big day. It's not every day that you can say six people are going into a suborbital flight, you know.
Yeah.
As we speak, they are sitting there in the rocket.
I wonder what it feels like.
Imagine it was you.
Do you think it's very
nerve-wracking? I would be nervous.
Yes. How do you enjoy it when you're that nervous?
Don't close your eyes.
Because you just don't know if you're coming back.
No, you don't.
It could be a one-way ticket.
It really could.
Could be your last trip.
Oh,
ever.
My word. That is crazy. Eh?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've all seen Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
He could have an Armageddon situation.
So are we going to a music break? Or yes. Do we have enough time to look at South African streaming?
When we come back, what are you going to...
We're
going to
take a look at what's available in South Africa for streaming subscriptions, whether it's Disney Plus.
Okay, which Netflix, that's coming in May, Disney Plus.
Netflix, Showmax.
We are.
And some of the other alternatives.
Okay, so see how they compare price-wise.
You got it.
It's back to Tech Plus. If you just joined us, hello, hello, hello. Welcome. We're talking about this week's biggest tech stories and a lot of excitement in the air because Disney Plus is coming to South Africa finally. What took them so long? They're coming in May to South Africa, Disney Plus, so we can finally watch more things and watch more Disney shows. And Kane's actually going to do a price comparison. Yes, the Disney Plus to launch on the 18th of May in South Africa. But I won't go into the pricing. I've got the price here, Kane.
What?
Got the price.
Do you?
For Disney Plus.
Oh, in dollars or rands?
Rands.
Oh, my word. Lay it on me.
No, I'm waiting for you to lay it on me.
Okay, let's get into it then.
You should lay it on me, man.
So, South Africans will soon have another streaming service, which is obviously the Disney Plus, which comes to the country, as you said, on the 18th of May. But how does Disney's offering compare to rivals already in the local market? That's the question, really, you know?
Yeah, that's what I want to... Yeah.
Tech Central pored through the company's respective websites to find out and produce a handy table breaking it all down. Disney Plus will be joining streaming entertainment platforms such as Netflix, Showmax, Apple TV, all in the South African market, priced at 119 Rand a month or 1,190 Rand a year. And it is competitive with some of the other platforms available. So, would you pay 120 Rand a month?
Yes.
For Disney Plus?
Oh, absolutely.
I pay 135 Rand for Netflix. I mean, you know.
You use it.
Would you cancel your Netflix subscription?
No.
And take Disney Plus?
No.
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 So it has to be additional.
No, because then I can't watch Ozark.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if it had Ozark?
On Disney?
Yeah.
They'll never get it. No. No, I like my Netflix. I will just have Disney Plus as an addition, you know. I'm not doing away with my Netflix. I've discovered so many good shows.
Really? What's your favorite at the moment?
It's definitely Ozark. I've also there's this new crime show called LA's Finest, which is very, very nice as well, that I really enjoy. And then the older favorites as well in between. And then Inventing Anna. Come on, Inventing Anna.
Really?
Yeah, Inventing Anna.
What is that about?
You don't know? You haven't seen Inventing Anna?
Inventing Anna, I've never heard of it in my life.
No, man. She's like, it's the girl who plays in Ozark, but she is the opposite. of the Tinder swindler, for example. It's a chick who infiltrates into the scene, and she cons a lot of people by... Oh, she's just so manipulative, and she's got amazing skills. She's a master manipulator. I can't even tell you.
So you would be getting Disney Plus on top of
your
existing
Netflix.
But she
eventually goes to jail, unfortunately.
So you would be getting Disney Plus on top of your Netflix subscription.
Yes.
And you're going to definitely do that.
Yes.
As soon as it comes out, you're going to try it at least for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a free trial, by the way? They didn't say.
That's a very good question.
Would be nice, you know, like even if it's just a 7-day trial, just to check it out.
So let's take a look at some of the prices here, and we're going to compare the most expensive options and the cheapest options. We're not going to play around too much in the middle.
Okay.
You know, because it would just, it's counterproductive.
Okay.
So Disney Plus is a flat rate, 120 Rand per month,
yeah,
or 1,190 Rand per year. Netflix, their most expensive offer is Netflix Premium at 200 Rand a month. So it comes out 80 Rand cheaper than Netflix's most expensive. And Netflix's cheapest option, if you're on a mobile, only is 50 Rand a month. So it is quite a lot cheaper. You can fit two Disney Plus subscriptions for one Netflix mobile subscription. And then the most basic TV-based Netflix subscription is 100 Rand a month. So, I mean, you are in a position where if you go for the cheapest Netflix options, you save money. And if you happen to only be watching on your mobile, you could potentially get Netflix Mobile and Disney Plus for 170 Rand a month. I mean, that's...
No, that's good.
That's not
How
bad.
How much is that per day? Have you got a calculator in your head? I've only got one on my phone.
No.
How much per month for both?
180 Rand per month for Netflix Mobile and Disney Plus if you're watching only on your phone.
Okay, well, that's 6 Rand a day.
6 Rand a day. And if you were to get the Netflix Basic subscription and Disney Plus, which is the cheapest Netflix subscription for a TV, you'd pay 220 Rand a month. How much is that?
Okay, and that would be... 7 Rand 30 a day.
7 Rand 30 a day.
It's cheap.
So what that really means
cheap,
is,
man,
the difference between Netflix Basic and Netflix Premium is the quality at which you could play back.
Yeah.
Right? So what that means is if you have just a standard 1080p TV, right, you don't need Netflix Premium.
Yeah, you see, people have these things that they don't need.
Yes.
You can scale down because I promise you won't notice the difference on your TV.
It's impossible.
No, you won't.
It's impossible.
Because your TV can't display even more than that.
No.
So you won't notice the difference. You really won't.
You wouldn't. Unless you go and you plug in a very expensive 4K TV, you know, 55-inch, you'll immediately see the difference.
But I mean,
your internet can keep up.
Exactly. And also, if you can afford a TV like that, I'm sure you can afford... a really good Netflix package.
I'm going to go buy a 30,000 Rand TV so I can get the Netflix Premium for 100 Rand extra a month.
No.
That's the choice you have to make.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you can get Netflix Basic and Disney Plus at 120 Rand per month. I mean, 180 Rand per month. Showmax, the most expensive Showmax option is 450 Rand a month.
What?
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 Do I get shares in the company or something?
Do I get like breakfast in bed every morning?
No, that's ridiculous. That's bordering on DSTV prices.
And that's what for 720p HD.
No, man.
My goodness.
Well, no, what do you get for that? Can you stream live TV or something on that?
Oh, my word. And for Showmax, just the normal standard playback.
Yeah.
So if you have a normal TV, 1080p, you would pay 99 Rand a month for Showmax.
Same as Netflix.
Same as Netflix. And if you had a mobile and you wanted to get a mobile deal, but your phone will actually have a real good display. Some phones have a 2K display, and some phones have a 4K display. So if you're going to go Showmax Pro on mobile for the highest quality playback, 225 Rand a month.
Hey, no, man.
For Showmax Mobile with 720p quality.
But you can see that it's the same company as DSTV.
There must
They're
be
greedy.
Something else that is offered there outside of just the streaming playback.
Hey, but Kane, don't you hate it when you're in bed and you're watching something on your phone and then the phone falls on your face? That happened to me and then I feel so stupid. And then the phone bounces off the bed and then my head is just
you know what's once happened to me. I honest to you, I was sitting at night on my phone, but I was laying on my back and the phone was above my head.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, I ended up dropping the phone. but it bounced on my head. It hit my head twice. It bounced. I was like, that's embarrassing. I looked around to see if anyone saw.
Yeah, that's one of those moments where you're like, oh, come on.
So let's talk Amazon Prime. Everyone knows Amazon Prime. What is the cost of Amazon Prime? Well, that's 80 rand a month.
Wow.
Wow. For 4K playback.
Wow.
So regardless, flat rate, you get 4K
playback. And that's an international thing as well.
Just 80 rand a month.
That's really good.
And Outplay Showmax, a South African company. Apple TV. We all know Apple TV. Apple TV is actually very good. It has shows like C and things like
that. Yes, yes.
Apple TV, 85 rand a month for 4K playback.
Gee.
Yeah.
Surprised.
YouTube Premium. YouTube without ads, basically, and the ability to play music on YouTube and minimize that.
It, yeah, because we all want to do that.
I do, hey.
Oh, I want to minimize it so bad, and then boom. But when you close it, it stops playing. How much is that, by the way?
That's 72 rand a month.
Is it for mobile or
for everything?
Okay,
so
that's all right.
Yeah,
72, hey.
And you can have up to 10 accounts, and then that's EVOD. Which is another one, is free for 360p playback.
That's the DSTV one. Ach, no, that's the ETV one.
ET one, yeah. 5 rand for 24 hours. Or 29 rand a month for 720p playback.
If you look at the content, I mean, then it justifies that price. It is extremely poor.
And then you have Telkom One, which is 50 rand a month with 1.8 gigs streaming data.
Hey, but Kane, you better hold your horses, eh? Remember, SABC is also bringing out their Netflix competitor, hey?
Oh, yeah.
So are you ready for that?
And obviously the question on the table at the moment is, well, how many accounts can you have connected to the streaming platforms? That's the ultimate thing, because if you reach the maximum quota and you have more than the number of people in your household who want to watch, you need 2 subscriptions.
Yeah.
To maintain,
I think that. Most of them is just one person. The cheap packages, they're just one person at a time.
So Disney Plus, we don't know yet.
No.
So until it's released on 18th of May, we don't know. Netflix Mobile's 1,
mm-hmm.
and Netflix Premium's 4.
Okay.
Okay. Showmax Mobile is 1, and Showmax Pro for 450 rand a month is 2.
I would expect 100.
1,000.
I would want to share it with the whole bloody family tree.
Prime 3. And remember, that's 80 rand a month. I mean, that's flipping good.
Yeah.
Apple TV is 6. Now remember, that's 85 rand a month.
Yo.
6 people watching at the same time.
People with brains who actually put those together, yeah.
Bird Box. Remember Bird Box?
Yes, that movie.
Yeah.
With Sandra Bullock.
It's BritBox, sorry.
Oh, ooh.
BritBox. Not BritBox.
It was Bird something and she was blindfolded. What was it called? Bird something. BritBox, yes. What about BritBox?
It's streaming
here now.
100 rand a month.
That's good.
5
stream. People, okay.
You can have 5 people playing.
I forgot about BritBox. Because it launched, was it last year? Here in South Africa.
Yeah, remember we spoke about it.
Yeah.
A few times we spoke about
it. Yeah, but you know what? I'm not too impressed with their catalogue. With the stuff that they have on there.
Not at all, hey?
No, it's just reruns of Mr. Bean and stuff.
Yeah, that's
And Fawlty
very
Towers
true.
And stuff. I can get that for free. I don't need to pay 100 rand. Those are classics. They're available almost everywhere on the internet.
Yeah. No, I think... I haven't tried BritBox yet. Have you? You said you were going to get a subscription as soon as it came out.
I forgot.
Oh, no. And you were so adamant.
But I checked the catalogue to see what they have on there. And, nah.
Like, really,
you
know, eh?
It's just...
Not for you.
The content, it's not worth it.
Not ideal. That's a pity. That's a pity. But, I mean, I was excited for BritBox, but let's move on to the next story. Now, this is also something that I was really, really excited to talk about. Elon Musk is thinking of opening or creating his own social media platform.
Oh, and imagine if he gives his child that weird name, what he's going to call the social media network. XXXXYYYY.
So Elon Musk says he's thinking about creating a social media platform. Now, do you remember all the stuff that went out about how Elon Musk's tweets are so dangerous and how people and investors don't like his tweets about Tesla and all that sort of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously where it's all stemming from. So let's take a look here. Elon Musk, the chief executive officer of Tesla, said in tweets that he is giving serious thought to creating a social media platform because Twitter is failing to adhere to free speech principles. Given that Twitter, this is what he said on his tweet, given that Twitter serves as the de facto public town square, failing to adhere to free speech principles fundamentally undermines democracy. That's what he tweeted. And he went on to say, he said in an earlier tweet on a Friday that free speech is essential to a functioning democracy. And he questioned if Twitter rigorously adheres to this principle. Last week, the US Securities and Exchange Commission told the judge that Musk's tweets about Tesla will remain a valid subject for government investigation, even if a court throws out his 2018 agreement with the SEC. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but we got our leaf blower back in town.
Welcome back. It's been a while. I missed him.
He's using the leaf blower to blow frustration through the window.
Yes.
Musk is seeking to end oversight by the SEC of his Twitter post, claiming the agreement is being used to trample his rights to free speech. He is also asking the court to block a subpoena by the securities regulator for documents relating to the review of his tweets. So we might see a social media platform coming out of Elon Musk's pocket, and I wonder what he'll call it.
X something, I'm telling you now.
Like Chat X.
It's going to be an X in there.
Or Social Link, or, you know, something like that. Social Star, Star Socials. I think it's going to be some... I don't know, I'm very interested to see. I'd love for a social media platform that advocates free speech to come out. We see it all the time. I mean, especially with the Ukraine-Russia issue, as much as I hate seeing stuff about it, I still want to see stuff from both sides.
Yeah.
And, you can't see anything from Russian side. You only see the Ukrainian side. And Ukraine is in the right, Russia's in the wrong, but what when this scenario flips? What if it's something else? What if it's something we don't fully understand?
Are you smelling petrol?
Yeah, it's the leaf blower.
Well, let's. What have you got for us when we come back?
When we come back, we are taking a look at Alibaba, which made a metaverse move. Into with a $60 million funding round into AR glasses, and the Post Bank has been hacked for 89 million rand.
It's Jan with you as well as Kane. We have about 20 minutes or so left of today's show. Kane, I know you're going to love this story because you love your NFTs. I wanted to mention it last week, but we didn't have enough time. A non-fungible token created from Nelson Mandela's original arrest warrant raised 1.9 million rand in an auction.
Where does that money go?
So that's his arrest warrant. Here's his original arrest warrant back in 1962. The money, that's a good question, where's the money going? It's going to fund a heritage site that documents South Africa's struggle for democracy. So just to recap, 1.9 million rand for this non-fungible token or NFT. The buyer is, funny enough, a guy from Dubai.
Oh my word.
A guy from Dubai.
Oh my word. I didn't think that was how I thought you were going to say from flipping Nullspread.
Yes. Quite interesting.
That's so cool. So my Mandela effect quite literally created an NFT.
Yeah, imagine.
My word.
This NFT thing is so really cool. Going.
No, it is. It's really cool. But it's crazy the ideas people have. Like, we saw the open source code for the World Wide Web. The first open source code was sold as an NFT.
But yeah. You know what, Kane, it's getting a bit ridiculous, I must say, hey? I don't know if you saw there was an influencer on Instagram or TikTok or something who sold her own gas.
No. No.
On an NFT. So you can now say, hey, I've got X and X's gas in a little bottle.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Just get out of here. That is just, that makes no sense.
Selling your own gas. It's ridiculous, but hey, listen, people are paying for it.
They pay.
That's, I suppose, you can only open it once. You can only, and then you close it, or just never open it.
No.
I think it's just a bragging thing.
It is.
To say, hey, I've got.
See,
I've
when
got
you have
this.
A lot of money in crypto, you don't know what to spend it on. And at that point, you kind of get, you get, you know, if everything in the world cost 1 cent and you just so happen to have a million rand.
You're right.
You get so bored.
You get bored, yeah. And then you start buying
and you
want to
show
stuff.
People you can do it. And you're actually bored with buying the normal things.
Mm-hmm.
So you start spending money on silly stuff.
Yeah, that's when you should start helping charities and stuff.
Speaking of money, Alibaba, and this is big from Alibaba. Alibaba has led a $60 million funding round for augmented reality tech startup Nreal. AR glasses like those made by Beijing-based Nreal are crucial to exploring the metaverse. The investment is a sign the Chinese tech giant is preparing a deeper delve into virtual worlds. So this is very, very cool. So Nreal is based in Beijing, and they said on Wednesday it has now raised a total of $200 million after closing the Series C Plus round. It did not disclose which other investors were involved in the latest funding, and AR technology like the light and air glasses Nreal develops is key to enabling people to get immersed into virtual worlds that make up the metaverse. Alibaba has already started staking its place in the metaverse by registering several trademarks, including Ali Metaverse. It has also invested at least $1 billion in AR and virtual reality startups in recent years. I mean, they're making big.
What is AR
moves.
Again?
Augmented reality.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. So like wearing a pair of glasses that make a fake table in front of you. That's augmented reality. Instead of going into a world with a table and fake walls and everything, there's just one piece of the vision that is fake, but it looks real. That's augmented reality.
Okay.
So cool. Like Star Wars holograms.
Yeah, okay.
That would be augmented reality. So investment in metaverse link companies is rising. In the last quarter of 2021 alone, almost $2 billion of venture capital funding went to AR and VR startups. This is according to Crunchbase data. Alibaba isn't the only Chinese tech giant to dive in. Gaming giant Tencent in October sharpened its metaverse focus with a new TIMI Studios gaming studio. The metaverse market is expected to grow over 20% this year, before exploding more than 1,300% by 2030, according to Statista Research. In 2022, its estimated size will be $47.48 billion and $678 billion within 8 years. So when you look at Alibaba, who spends $1 million in the last few years investing into tech startups, but what's up for grabs is $680 billion. Kind of, it gives you the scope a little bit of what we're dealing with here. So there's going to be a lot of rampant raging and trying to, you know, kind of cut into the market and get as much of the market share as possible to chase the $680 billion evaluation. But for us, that means competition. Competition leads to more, better pricing, greater ability to provide higher value tech and more intricate advanced technology for cheaper. I welcome the competition.
Yeah.
I welcome the funding. I welcome the decentralization, stopping the monopoly control over it. We don't just want Facebook to own the metaverse. We don't just want Alibaba to do it. We want everybody to have a piece of the pie, because ultimately that's where we're going to work in the future. That might be where we game in the future. That might be where we watch movies in the future. You want to make sure that money is diversified. So next up on our list, we're talking about the post office that was hacked for 89 million rand.
Probably was very easy.
Post office subsidiary Postbank was hit by a cybercrime fraud resulting in the theft of 89 million rand in social grant funding, allegedly involving its own workers or contractors. The security breach was uncovered by the Ama Buhanga Center for Investigative Journalism and published on News24 and the Daily Maverick. Between 16 and 28 October 2021, the perpetrators made off with at least 89,459,000 in cash, fraudulently transferred to 279 SASSA accounts and withdrawn at ATMs using cloned cards. The discovery of the fraud was coincidental, with a call center operator flagging a SASSA beneficiary account they noticed had an unusually high balance of just under 100,000 rand. Following the discovery, Postbank commissioned Akura, consulting group to analyze the breach. Its report on the incident found that the people involved were likely Postbank workers or a Postbank contractor with a high degree of knowledge of the Postbank network, database structure, and working practices. The perpetrators had also deleted log files linked to the incident. This suggested an employee, an unauthorized attacker with access to Postbank's network, or a third-party supplier with the necessary knowledge and access to the Postbank Oracle database and wider infrastructure were to blame. In addition, it would require the large-scale cooperation of beneficiaries willing to participate in allowing fraudulent activity to take place through their accounts. According to CEO Kevin Martens, previously told Parliament it reported the incident to the police and the South African Reserve Bank. A formal PRECA report was also filed. In a statement subsequent to the report, Martins categorically disputed that the incident was kept under wraps. So they believe that they kept this particular fraud under wraps, didn't allow it to come to the surface. Obviously, now we're catching wind of it. But, I mean, 89 million rand stolen from a post office isn't something you come across every single day.
No, and also it's always an inside job.
It has to be.
No, it's always.
Just the nature of it in its entirety is either an inside job or a very, very clever group of people.
Mm.
But nonetheless, have you ever heard of headphones that have a built-in air purifier?
Why?
So Dyson's new bizarre headphones have a built-in air purifier. The Dyson Zone take on air noise pollution problems is a wholly unique way. Dyson is getting into headphones in the most Dyson way possible, the Zone, a pair of noise-canceling Bluetooth headphones with an air purification technology built in. Thanks to a bizarre-looking magnetic face visor, it's both the strangest and most ambitious product that the company has ever made. Today's announcement is just an initial reveal of the Zone headphones ahead of a full release date, and Dyson isn't announcing specific details like prices or specifications, including how much the headphones weigh or how long the battery will last. The goal of the Zone is to make living in urban spaces more comfortable by attempting to mitigate both air and noise pollution. So these are a pair of headsets that have a visor on them that goes across your face and your mouth and provides you with clean oxygenated air. The air purification half of the Zone doesn't reinvent the wheel for Dyson. Instead, it miniaturizes the company's existing air filtration technology into a unique form factor. The Zone pulls in air through each earpiece using a pair of tiny compressors. The air is then filtered and piped through the slightly bizarre-looking visor for the user to breathe in. Despite what it looks like, the visor doesn't make contact with your face like a mask would. Instead, it sits in front of your face, creating a gap where a bubble of clean air can gather and be breathed in. The company showed off a separate attachment that could be clipped on in instances where you might need a proper full contact face mask as well.
Nah. I want to listen to music. I don't want an oxygen mask.
Do you want to see a picture?
That is very, very strange.
It looks like something out of Power Rangers.
Oh, no. Oh, my word. Oh, no. No, man. It looks so uncomfortable.
Apparently,
we're tired of masks already. We don't need this.
Apparently,
as well.
The visor thing that goes across your mouth is detachable.
Nah, I'll pass.
But I just can't see myself sitting in front of the computer wearing this thing.
No,
feeling
no.
Like I'm on oxygen tanks.
Exactly. No, come on.
I don't understand.
Unless they thought, you know, maybe you wanted to create like a bubble for yourself, you know, with COVID and everything, and then just sit at your computer, maybe at work, listening to whatever, and then you've got your own air that you breathing in
a co-work space. It might be really
yeah
nice.
That's the only place I can really see it.
Not in
I'm
your
not
bedroom.
Sitting in my bedroom with that.
Just alone in your room purifying your own recycled air.
That's ridiculous. Wow. Okay, well yeah. I wonder how it's going to do sales wise
I can only imagine.
We must actually do a follow-up.
We have to do
see
a
how it's doing. I'm telling you, it's going to disappear.
So we've spoken about a fair number of hacks recently. You know, we've spoken about crypto hacks. We've spoken about EA Games hacks and all
and
that sort of stuff.
And teenagers hacking from their bedrooms.
And teenagers, running Lapsus hacking groups, which is one of the biggest hacking groups in the world. 16-year-old teenager out of the UK. But this particular way data was acquired, I bet you didn't expect. So Apple and Meta shared data with hackers pretending to be law enforcement officials. Okay. These are big companies. These are no small companies. We talk about Facebook or Meta and Apple.
Oh, my word.
So Apple and Meta handed over user data to hackers who faked emergency data request orders typically sent by law enforcement, according to a report by Bloomberg. The slip-up happened in mid-2021, with both companies falling for the phony requests and providing information about users' IP addresses, phone numbers, and home addresses. Okay. Law enforcement officials often request data from social platforms in connection with criminal investigations, allowing them to obtain information about the owner of a specific online account. While these requests require a subpoena or search warrant signed by a judge, emergency data requests don't and are intended for cases that involve life-threatening situations. Fake emergency data requests are becoming increasingly common, as explained in a recent report from Krebs on Security. During an attack, hackers must first gain access to a police department's email systems. The hackers can then forge an emergency data request that describes the potential danger of not having the requested data sent over right away, all while assuming the identity of a law enforcement official. According to Krebs, some hackers are selling access to government emails online, specifically with the purpose of targeting social platforms with fake emergency data requests. So how's that, eh? You're like, okay, well, the one way we can get information from this particular company is pretend to be police and ask for specific information about a user or group of users. Now, the scary thing is, this isn't just a hack or a social engineered scam, because there was no money to be won, which means the people that hacked or acquired this particular group of users' information, such as IP, home address, etc., those people are at risk. Because why do those people want their home addresses, their IP addresses?
They specifically want it. So I wouldn't sleep if
And
they
it's not the police. It's someone after you. Someone's there in the
Somebody's
background looking
for you.
For your information.
Oof, that's
And they
scary.
Just got it. That's the thing.
They've
and they
got it now,
it.
Yeah.
So we got to look at who's went missing in the last few months to figure that one out.
Yeah. Jeez, but how I wonder what's the motive there.
How crazy. But what's even more crazy is these social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Apple have your home address information.
Yeah.
That they can give to someone who badly, who asks for it in a malicious way, does the, all the right, checks all the right boxes to say they're legit, but they're not, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they get your home address. You could be a random person on the internet that's saying something about something in some place, and they do that and get your home address. If you just think about it like that, it's pretty concerning. That's terrifying. People think you're anonymous online, but if when your own social media platform or phone manufacturer can provide information about you to someone, that's particularly
They should really look after their security. They have to add a few more steps. Are you a robot? It's not enough.
And it's such an absurd balance, because one, you got to keep the account information safe from being hacked, and two, you got to comply with governments and give information when they ask for it.
Yeah, it's their duty to keep it safe. But I mean, like you also said, people think they're anonymous online. You're not. What did you say earlier about, I think it's a story that you teased about a Twitter user who said something, and then what happened there?
So a Twitter user was sentenced to 150 hours of community service in the UK for posting an offensive tweet.
What did he say?
So Joseph Kelly, who's 36 years old, deleted the tweet after just 20 minutes. So a Twitter user from the UK, whose name is Joseph Kelly, was sentenced to 150 hours of community service for posting a grossly offensive tweet about Captain Sir Tom Moray, a British Army officer who raised money for the NHS during the pandemic. Moray became a national figure in the UK after walking 100 laps around his garden before his 100th birthday. He was later knighted by the Queen. The day after his death, Kelly, 36, tweeted, "The only good Brit soldier is a dead one. Burn, old fella, burn." Yo. That's what he said.
Oof.
That's what he said.
Ay, nah.
Kelly was found guilty in February last year and faced possible jail time. His case brought attention to an often criticized piece of UK legislation that allows social media users to be prosecuted for sending grossly offensive messages. As reported by The National, Kelly was sentenced on Wednesday. His defense argued that Kelly had been that had few followers on Twitter at the time, that had been Yeah, he had few followers at the time, that he had been drinking before writing the post, and that he deleted his tweet just after 20 minutes of sending it. He says he accepts he was wrong. He did not anticipate that would happen. He took the steps almost immediately to delete the tweet, but the genie was out of the bottle by then, said Kelly's defense agent, Tony Callahan. His level of criminality was a drunken post at a time when he was struggling emotionally, which he regretted and almost instantly removed. Kelly was sentenced to 18 months of supervision and 150 hours of unpaid work in the form of Scottish Community Payback Order. Sheriff Adrian Cottam, who sentenced Kelly, told the 36-year-old, My view is, having heard the evidence that this was a grossly offensive tweet, the deterrence is really to show people that despite the steps you took to try and recall matters, as soon as you press the blue button, that's it. It's important for people to realize how things can quickly get out of control.
Yeah.
You are a good example of that, not having many followers. Imagine being sentenced to prove a point.
Yeah.
To make a statement. And to be used as an example.
Yeah, they usually make an example of you, hey? And, this guy probably needs a new identity now. Everybody's hating him. He needs to get a new ID and everything now and start over, fake his death or something.
I mean, it's literally 20 days of community service.
Yeah.
But that's not 20 days like 1 hour a day. That's 20 full days.
The worst thing is he was drunk.
He was
intoxicated. Right?
Don't drink and drive. Don't smoke and fly. Don't drink and tweet.
Yeah.
The golden rules.
Yeah. Drunk dialing and all that stuff. Now it's drunk tweeting. But I mean, you never know what you're going to say, hey?
No.
You got to be so careful.
And you could be held for that.
Look at the people who used the racist terms on social media. They were cancelled, as they call it.
Yeah.
They were. Their lives were ruined because 1 second... they thought they were funny and wise to say something really bad. Somebody picked it up, and it's just it turned into a felt fire.
Yeah.
It just spreads so quickly. His reputation ruined. There's two guys I can think of now, and a woman, and she's no longer with us, alive, no longer alive. But she used to be a state agent, I think. Penny something.
Oh, interesting.
But anyway, and then this guy also. He was actually overseas when he made a video and he said something. And it was racist. And it picked up here in South Africa. And his family, they lost everything. He lost everything. He cannot go out.
That's insane.
Even
eh?
To this day, he cannot go out because people are looking for him. And they want to do something to him.
That is... It's just making... That's why my life flashes before my eyes every single time I'm about to flame Eskom for cutting my power out one more time on Twitter. I write out a very strongly worded argument and then I delete it all.
Yeah.
Like, what could happen?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm glad you're doing that. It's nice. What I do sometimes when I want to go on a rant, guess what I do?
What?
I type it in a notepad on my phone. And then I feel better. It's almost like a diary entry. I just want to get it out of me.
You
and then I don't. Yeah, and then I don't post it. Because believe me, in my teen years, I posted stuff just like that. And then I lived to regret it. Yeah. Nothing too hectic, but family and stuff picked it up. And they're like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you saying? So you got to be so careful. It can actually, social media can make or break your life. Literally.
And it's always that moment that just before you're about to take to social media to vent,
mm-hmm.
that it's the worst stuff that can come out.
Because
you're so bent up and you end up over-exaggerating.
You're not thinking clearly and you're on emotion. That's why they always say, take a break. Because I promise you, half an hour or an hour later, you're going to think differently. Don't act in the heat of the moment.
I bet you it's going to be only a matter of time before you write something out on a social media platform like Twitter and it says, are you sure you want to send this?
Yeah.
We flagged five keywords that may not be taken well or something.
We don't have that.
No.
We should have that.
That should be there if you can get sentenced for it.
Yeah. Aiken, that's a good one.
You can't just use common sense. But the law that they used in the UK to prosecute him was actually a law in the UK that protects you from sending like bad messages via SMS or via calling on a cell phone. If you call someone on a telephone and say something bad to them, or you text them an SMS and say something bad to them, obviously this law was put together many years ago. then you could be prosecuted for it. But it's now evolved into this thing that covers social media as well. If you happen to share something rude or offensive on social media that does damage, you will be sentenced accordingly.
But you're right, there should be a warning for certain keywords that they pick up in your status. Because, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but especially now with the whole COVID thing, Facebook, they've got a pop-up that comes up. And if you're sharing an article regarding COVID-19 and you didn't open that article first, it asks you, are you sure you want to share this COVID information thing? And then you can say open article or yes, I'm sure, and then you post it. So they check if you're reading first before you're sharing and commenting.
That's crazy.
So that's pretty nice. So maybe they can do something along those lines, you know, to protect people in future.
I would like to see it because it's a very gray area. You know what I mean? What you might find appropriate in your friend group to say will not be taken the same way across the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so right. Yeah.
And the language barrier can make it equally bad.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. 100 times worse.
Yep.
And you might just be set in, you know, especially like Russia's a bad example, but Russians generally have a very front forward way of talking to each other. You know, it's not really. In European countries, we kind of beat around the bush a little bit to the end. You won't just go tell a person they're fat. You know, you drop some hints. A Russian will just go say it straight.
Yeah, but the Russians sound like they talk backwards. I didn't even know they're so upfront there in Russia.
No, they are. I've had a few clients, like a few years ago, they were in Russia.
They'll just insult you.
And then they'll just tell you to your face that your work sucks. They're just like, they're not going to beat around the bush. They just go, I just don't like it. Sorry.
But in Russian, did you have to translate?
No. Like, that's why I say the language barrier. Because and Sweden, Swedish people as well, the Swiss, they're just very forward. And the language barrier makes it worse. So when you listen to them or you read something that they say, you talking to them, you might take offense to something that they didn't try and be offensive
exactly,
about.
Exactly, you're right. Yeah.
It's just their way of talking. And
you're right.
Their network of people is totally accepting of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't get offended, nothing. But then you speak to me, I might get offended.
Yeah.
And then you take that and extrapolate that onto social media. You're making a statement.
Sure.
It could go the wrong way.
Good point, Kane. Good point. And on that note, time to wrap it up, man.
Wrapping it up.
You want to wrap something up as well before we really wrap it up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, special happy birthday to Jade for tomorrow. I hope you have a very good birthday. Fantastic year ahead.
Jade, happy birthday for tomorrow. I hope it's going to be a super one.
Absolutely.
I hope you're going to have a good one.
Absolutely.
Have a long weekend.
Extra long.
Yeah.
Birthday month, not birthday
yes,
day.
Yes, like a party all weekend, not just tomorrow. Now, happy birthday, Jade. And that's also from myself. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much for having me this week, Ian.
No, thank you for popping in, man.
Yeah, it's always good.
I see you came through the window this week.
Double front flip.
Excellent. And you even brought the leaf blower. That was nice. We actually missed him. I was wondering what happened to him.
It's not a tech show until you come blowing all his leaves around the garden.
Yeah. Kane, thank you so much. Have a lekker rest of your weekend. And then we'll catch up again next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ian. Have a great weekend. And to all of our listeners that tune in every week to catch up, thank you so much. We really appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.
That's it.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.